All right, Jabo say good morning. Let us begin to thank our sponsors, our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Sivan, to thank Naftali and Chavi Tilson from Eretz Yisrael, with a thank you to Naftali's Chaver Benjamin Wolf for introducing him to the Daf Yomi. May Hashem bless us all to finish the Daf Yomi cycle together and celebrate with the Siyum together in Eretz Yisrael. Amen. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for Sivan, Baruch Meir and Rina Dubin. May Hashem continue to protect our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, and may all of our children remain safe, complete their year of learning with a deep connection to the land and Hashem's Torah. All right, Debos, with that, thank all of our sponsors for their generosity. A little better? Okay, excellent. You could stand up here and hold it, by the way, if you want. You know, all right, Debos, good? On a serious note, better? Okay, so let's begin. So today's daf, thank you to Reb Kalman Akiva for giving yesterday's shir, the beautiful daf ahead of us. Today, actually, some very interesting halacha lamaisa as well. Mirat Hashem, if we get to it. So we are picking up, literally, today's daf is Memtes 49. We are picking up Mirat Hashem on the top of Memtes, Nesrei. So remember, again, we dealt with a statement of Rav Sheshes, right? They were asking the Shalit from Rav Sheshes, what's the halacha if you do holacha bismol? Right? If you go ahead and, remember again, in the process of the avodah, the shechita, shechting, kabbalah, the reception of the dam, and then holacha. Now, holacha often is not explicitly stated. Often what happens is, kind of in our progression of avodah, we often go shechita, kabbalah, that's what's usually next, zerika. But of course, again, remember, you have to get the blood from the place of the kabbalah to the makom of the zerika, which is the mizbeach. And again, even if you're shechting right by the rings, which you know the rings were right by the mizbeach, at the end of the day, there's still an area that has to be traversed. That's called holacha. So Rav Sheshes, the shayla was, what is the status? Well, the truth is, it snowballed a little bit. The shayla that began was, can you do holacha with the left hand? Right? Holacha b'smol. What's the status of holacha with the left hand? So the Gemara says, Rav Sheshes went ahead and halacha lemaisa is quoted from our Mishnah that from the fact that the Kohen Gadol transported on Yom Kippur the machta in his right hand and the kaf, the lil with the ketores in his left hand, shows you that halacha b'smol is kosher. So the Gemara says, Meisve zarva onin shikaru balmum b'kabala b'halacha b'zrika pasul. So Gemara quotes the Mishnah. Our Braise, I should say, zar, non-Kohen, onin. They both say onin is a reference to someone in a state of avelus, but specifically in the period of time between death and burial. Shikr, someone who's intoxicated. Balmum, a blemished kohen. Bekabala ubaholacha bezrika pasul. If any of these individuals did either kabbalah, holacha, or zrika, they have invalidated the avodah. Similarly, v'chein yoshef. It's interesting. If you do any of the avodos while sitting, v'chein smol, or if you do any of the avodos with your left hand, pasul. Ultimately, again, apostle. So we'll say tiyufta. So here you see, this is a pretty clear refutation of Rav Sheshes' position that you see over here that doing the avod, including holacha with the left hand, is invalid as pasul. I b'har Rav Sheshes hu da'osva. And I will say, interestingly enough, the Gemara just brought this as a refutation to Rav Sheshes. But interestingly enough, we're going to see that Rav Sheshes himself quoted this refutation. Where did Rav Sheshes quote it? The Amalei Rav Sheshes la Amore de Rav Chista. Because Rav Sheshes said to the Amore Rav Chista, Boy, my name Rav Chista, Holacha, bizarre mahu. What's the halacha? For non Kohen does holacha. So we'll say, now we're shifting gears a little bit. This was the Shaila, right? This was the Shaila that ultimately, again, Rav Sheshes asked of the Amora of Rav Chista, right? They asked of Rav Chista, if a non-Kohen does holacha, what is the status? So Amar Lei, and he responded, Kshera umikra misayani. So he said it's kosher, Rav Chista said it's kosher, if a zar does holacha, and not only that, I'll bring you a pasuk as a proof. What's the pasuk? The Gemara quotes from Divrei Hayomim, v'yishchatu es ha-pesach, v'yizirko ha-kohanim mi-adam, v'alavim mafshitim. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, the drasha from the pasuk over here is as follows. The way it sounds like from this pasuk is Vayishchatu al Pesach, they shechted the Pesach, and you'll see that they refer to it in just a moment. Vayizirku al Kohanim Yadam, the Kohanim did Zrika when they took it from their hands, Valavim Afshitim, and the Levim flayed the animals. We'll say the way the Gemara's Rare of Chis is understanding this pasuk is who's doing the Shechita over here in this particular pasuk? This is during times of King Yoshio. This is the Levim are doing the Shechita. Fine, not a problem. Why? Shechita's Kshera Bizar. That's not a problem. You don't need Levim. Yisrael could do Shechita. So the Levim are doing the Shechita. Now, it's interesting because in the Pasuk, the first time that a Kohen is mentioned is when? Vayizriku HaKohanim. The Kohanim did the Zrika. Which sounds like what Chista's interpreting the Pasuk is that what? The Levim did the Shechita. What else did the Levim do? What else did they do? The Holacha, right? They took the blood to the Kohanim, and then the Kohanim went ahead and did the Zrika. So we'll say this is a case, ultimately again, remember, a Levi, vis-a-vis the Avoda, is a Zar. He's a, right? The Zar is any non-Kohen. See over here, that whole, I'm sorry, Holacha. See here, that Holacha, done by a Zar, ultimately is Kasher. This is what Rav Chisda was responding. V'alvim afshidim mosir Rav Sheshes. And Rav Sheshes raised the kash on this. He said, one second. Zar va'onim v'shikar u'ba'amum b'kabbalah u'ba'holocha u'bizrika pasal v'chei yoshe v'chein small pasal. But here you have Rav Sheshes. So we'll say, the very brisa that the Gemara quoted to refute the position of Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes was quoting to refute Rav Chisda. So remember again, they're asking from Rav Chisda, what's the halacha if a zar does holocha? So again, Rav Chisda quotes the Pasuk. Rav Chisda says it's kasher, a zar could do halacha, and I'll bring you a Pasuk from Divrayim to support that assertion. Rav Sheshes then quotes the very brisa, bless you, that we just quoted on the top of Mem Tesel and Aleph. He quotes the first brisa, and that brisa says that what? That if a non-Kohen goes ahead and does halacha, it is possible. Not only that, but that's the very same brisa that says that what? That if you do halacha b'smol, if you do halacha with your left hand, that is also invalid. To which the Gemara says, so what's going on over here? Basra d'shameh hada'osa. Okay, you're right. So we'll say the progression is like this. Rav Sheshes first raised the question, can you do halacha b'smol? Well, he said you could do halacha b'smol. Then the Gemara disproves him by quoting the Braisa. Once Rav Sheshes hears the Braisa, he's like, okay. I was disproved, I was wrong. And now he uses that very same braisa to go ahead and refute Rav Chisda. So I'll say, I'll just tell you something amazing. Such an incredible musr here about you seeing the ability to admit when one is wrong. Isn't it incredible? I'll say, I quoted this many times. Gemara Masechet Shabbos says, Lamad Lashon Chalomar Eini Yodea. A person has to teach his tongue to say, I was wrong. I don't know. So the Ben Yoyada says, what do you mean you have to teach your tongue to say? Because the Ben Yoyada says, it's hard to say, I don't know. See, Rabbi says, therefore you have to teach your tongue to, because again, we like to think that we're all knowing. That comes from this fact that we're at Salam Elokim. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is omniscient, is omnipresent, is omnipotent. He's all of these things. So there's a part of us that likes to think that we're all of these things as well, but we're not. So it's difficult to say, I don't know. So I've often thought, if it's difficult to say, I don't know, right? If it's Lamad Lashon Chalomar Eini Yodea, then how difficult is it for us to admit that we're wrong? Right? In other words, saying I don't know is much easier than saying, we all know this, it's very difficult in life to admit that I was wrong. I mean, not for you to admit that I was wrong. I mean, for each of us to admit that we were wrong. Right, so let's say, to admit, like, if it's Lamad Lashon Chalomar Eini Yodea, imagine Lamad Lashon Chalomar Ta'isi. I made a mistake. And here, we'll say, the godless of these kind of Gemaras is here you have Rav Sheshes. And again, Rav Sheshes is in print stating a halacha. Then Rav Sheshes was disproven, right? He was disproved. He was showed that it was wrong. And what does he do? He accepts, he's Makabel, and he goes on. What an incredible Muslim life. Sometimes we get so stuck on trying to prove that we're right, even when we're so clearly wrong, and we dig in, right? We dig in even further. Anything but to admit that I was wrong. And we end up wasting so much time and so much energy trying to perpetuate a falsehood just because I don't want to admit that I was wrong. And if Sheshes comes along and says, we're all wrong. We're all wrong at different times in life. Be mekabel it, use it to build yourself stronger and move on in life. I have Rav Chisda Krakamar. So I'll say, but here's the problem, right? Rav Chisda wanted to prove that Holocha is Kshera Bizar based on this Pasuk from Divrei Hayamim. Now I will say, it's a pretty good proof. In other words, Rav Chisda is quoting a Pasuk, so it's true. Rav Sheshes quotes a Braisa, right? And the Braisa is pretty explicit that Holocha Bizar is not good. But Rav Chisda quoted a Pasuk. So what do I do with the Pasuk? Right? What do we do with the Pasuk? It's very interesting. The Gemara says, V'har Rav Chisda Krakamar, Da'avid Maisi Itztiva. I will say, this is very interesting. Literally what it means is that the Levim in this situation acted like a platform. Itztava is a platform, which also means that what? You see, when Rav Chista read the Pasuk, he thought the Pasuk read like this. Vayishchetu ha-Pesach, the Levim shechted, they shechted the Korban Pesach, and then the unwritten part is, the next written part is Vayizrika HaKaran, the Karan did this Rika. So the Rav Chista understood it was that the Levim therefore did the Holacha, they brought the blood to the Karan for the Zrika, to which the Gemara says, no, what happened is, the Kohanim did this, the Levim did the Shechita, the Kohanim did the Kabbalah, the Kohanim then gave the blood to the Levim. But what did the Levim do with the blood? They stood still. My Itztava means like they stood, literally Itztava is a platform. It's like they were a platform. The Levim were the platform. They just stood still until when? Until when? Until some other Kohen was able to come take the blood, do the Holacha, and subsequently do the Zrika. So in other words, the process was Shechita by Levim, Kabbalah by Kohanim, then the Kohanim would give the blood to the Levi. The Levi would just stand in place. The Levi was a placeholder. Just hold this. Don't move. Don't go anywhere. Just hold it, like Milt was just motioning. Maybe also to stir it so that it doesn't congeal. And then another Kohen came along and did the actual Holacha. Beautiful. So we'll say bye to Papa. So Rav Papa comes along and says as follows. So I was saying, by the way, that's how we paskin, right? We paskin not like Rav Sheshes. We paskin like this Braisa, that halacha lamaisa, a zar, a nanka, an onain, a shikr, balmum, are not allowed to do kabbalah, holacha, and zrika. Similarly, again, with your left hand. You're not allowed to do holacha with your left hand as well. What about Yom Kippur? And what's the answer to that? Lo efsha, right? There's no alternative. There, the avoda of the day demands that you act in a way that you would not normally act in the rest of the year. But under normal circumstances, we don't do holacha b'smol. Beautiful. So it says the Gemara. By Rapa, we'll say a fascinating case. Chafan chaveiro v'nosin l'sof chafnav mahu. So we'll say, so remember again, yesterday's daf, already 2 days ago, we started with the sugya of chafina. Right? So remember again, let's go through our process once more. So remember again, the Kohen Gadol, shovel full of ketores is coming from where? Beis Avatinas, right? They bring it from the Beis Avatinas chamber. The coin's going to go out. They bring out the shovel, right? Remember again, there are two shovels, right? Shovel number one was used for coals, right? That's when the coin went up to the Mizbeach. Shovel number two was used to bring a shovel full of ketores out of the Beis Avatinas. After the bring the shovel full, the coin god would go ahead and take a chafina. So Moshe was telling me that Rav Kalman Akiva gave you physical demonstrations yesterday. So remember again, he's going in, he's right, he's taking his hands, he's cupping them like this, and he's bringing the ketores out. That's his chafino. What is he then doing with that? Placing it into the calf, right? He's placing that into the ladle, right? That's the next step over here. Interestingly enough, and then of course he's bringing it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and we're going to discuss what he does with it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Rav Papa raises the following shayla. Chafan chafeiro v'nasan l'so chaf nadmar. We'll say, what happens in the following situation? Imagine the following scenario. Let's say Kohen 1 does the chafina. So right, they bring out a shovel full of ketores from the Beis Avatinas, he does the chafina, and then he pours his chafina into the hands of the Kohen Gadol. So what's the status of that? Does that work? Chafan chaveiro, v'nasan l'so chafnav. So again, if one Kohen took the chafina, he did the original handful from the shovel, he then goes ahead and pours it into the Kohen Gadol's hands. Does that work? Mahu. V'lo chafnav ba'inar v'ha'ika. On one hand, we can say, listen, all we need is a handful from the Kohen Gadol. Do we have a handful from the Kohen Gadol? Absolutely. Absolutely. Odilm, so on one hand that should work. Odilm, v'lakach v'hevi ba'inan v'haleko. Or maybe on the flip side, we need v'lakach v'hevi. That we need the Kohen Gadol to not just hold a handful of ketores, but what do we need him to do? V'lakach. And we'll say v'lakach means what? He must be the one who actively takes that handful from the shovel. So we'll say, here the shayla. So do we say what we ultimately need is a handful of ketores from the Kohen Gadol? Do we have that in this case? Yes. So one, this should be good. Another, you know, maybe we need v'lakach v'hevi. Maybe what we really need, ultimately, again, is that the Kohen Gadol be the one who actively takes the handful from the shovel. And of course, that's missing over here. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Teku. So the Gemara leaves it. Now we'll say, we're going to see, anytime the Gemara kind of leaves these cases as a teku, the way the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim is that halacha l'maisi shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do it. But if you did do it, like the Lashon over here is, I'll just tell you the Lashon, right? The Rambam says, where was this? I'm sorry. Perek Hei Halacha Chavches. So the Rambam says, you know, you shouldn't do it in all of these cases. I'll leave it because there's going to be a few more cases, but I'll just tell you. He says, Kaleilu Safek. So remember when it says Teiko, it's a Safek if the Avodah works. Velo Yakdir, therefore you shouldn't offer it up. Vim Hikdir Hurtza. But if you did offer it up, it works. So we'll say, so for example, in this case, and again, we'll see a few more cases like this, but in this case over here, where the Kohen Gadol is not the one who's taking the original Chafina from the shovel, but one Kohen is taking it, placing it into the hands of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol is then placing it into the kaf, into the ladle. Ideally, we don't like this, and therefore we don't do it. But if you did it and you offer it up, it works. Okay, by Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. We'll say another example. Chafanu Meis, interesting case. What happens if the Kohen Gadol does the Chafina? So we'll say, so remember again, just to understand the case over here. He's doing the Chafina, right? He's going ahead and conducting himself in the right way. So he's taking the handful from the shovel. And then what happens? He places it in the ladle, in the calf, and then he dies. Ma'u sheikhanis achar b'chafina so. So we'll say, so now, okay, so Baruch Dayanemes, but there's another Kohen Gadol, right? Because again, the Avodah has to go on. So now we'll say, so what happens? Now the new Kohen comes along. Can the new Kohen go ahead and use the Chafina of the previous Kohen? Right, that's the Shaila. Chafanu meis, ma'u sheikhanis achar b'chafina so. So Rabbi Chanina, bo'urei, sheila sarishan abosei, this is very interesting. So Rabbi Chanina says, such a good kasha. That was a kasha that was asked even in earlier generations. So I'll say, so just the names here are going to be important. So remember, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is the one who's asking the Shaila, okay? If the Kohen Gadol did the Chafina, then he died. Can the new Kohen Gadol use the Chafina of the previous one? That's the Shaila. Rabbi Chanini hears the kasha and he says, oh, what a great kasha. Shelas harishonim. That is a Shaila of earlier generations. Now, Bosai. Now, interesting enough, the Gemara says, Lameimra, to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Kashish. Now, Bosai, the way that sounds like over here is Rabbi Chanina is extolling the Shailas of previous generations, which sounds like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is older than Rabbi Chanina. Right? Lameimra, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Kashish, is that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is older than Rabbi Chanina? That Rabbi Chanina is referring to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's Kasha as a Shaila of previous generations. V'am Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. We'll say one second, but that doesn't seem to be the case. Because after all, the Gemara says like this. Am Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Hitir Rabbi Chanina lishtos shchalayim b'shabbos. Yet Rabbi say, watch this. We have Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi saying that Rabbi Chanina permitted me to drink shchalayim. We'll say shchalayim is cress juice. Juice that's extracted from cress. Right? So the Gemara apparently used to drink this for medicinal purposes. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is saying that Rabbi Chanina allowed me to drink. So we'll say, so first of all, already over here you see the fact that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is asking the Shaila to Rabbi Chanina indicates to us who's older? Bepashtos, who's older? Rabbi Chanina. Yet, say, see where the kasha is going. Remember, again, Rabbi Chanina hears the Shaila of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, and he extols it as the great kasha of previous generations, which seems to indicate that Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi is older than Rabbi Chanina. Yet, here we're seeing that Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi is asking his Shailas to Rabbi Chanina, which would seem to indicate that Rabbi Chanina was older than Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. So, the Gemara is just going to digress for a moment to discuss the Mesias of the Shaila. So, Lishtos Pshita. Of course, you could drink cress juice on Shabbos. After all, this nun, kala ochlim adam ochel refua, v'chala mashkin shosa. We'll say, in general, the way it works, remember again, one is not permitted to engage in medicinal healing and refua on Shabbos. And the reason for that is gzeira of schika samemonim. There is a concern that you may come to go ahead and grind up herbs. That's the concern. So therefore, I will say, but interestingly enough, when doesn't that concern apply? It doesn't apply ultimately in a situation where you are consuming the food or the drink in a what we'll call normative derech achila. So therefore, the Gemara says, of course you could drink cress juice on Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, Ella lishchok v'lishtosh chalayim b'shabbos. Rather, what Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi was asking Rabbi Chanina is, can I go ahead and grind up the cress on Shabbos in order to extract the liquids and drink that on Shabbos? Because remember again, grinding, tchina, could be one of the lamates malachas, to which the Gemara says, Heichidami, what's the case? If we're talking about a situation of sakana, of danger to one's health, and therefore again the shaila is, can I grind up the grass in order to take it for medicinal purposes? If there's sakana, nishra shari, that is surely permitted. V'idaleka sakanta, and if there is no sakana, mesar asir, then of course what? Of course it is going to be asir. So in other words, what's the metzias? V'olam de'ika sakanta. In reality, there was sakana. The case in question also was that there was sakana. Aye, so why is there a shaila if you could prepare the crest drink? V'hachi kami boile. And what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi was asking Rabbi Chanina was the following shaila. Mi masya denechal alayu shapsa o lo masya. V'lo nechal ala shapsa. So this is very interesting. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi was asking Rabbi Chanina a shaila in crest juice. He wasn't asking him as much as Shailan Hilchos Shabbos. And Rabbi Chanina understood that ultimately, again, one could be Mechal Shabbos for Sakana. The Shaila was, does cress juice heal? Does it heal? In other words, if I'm going to be Mechal Shabbos for something, I have to be Mechal Shabbos for something that has a chance at working. But if something doesn't really have a chance of working, I'm not going to be Mechal Shabbos for it. So Rabbi Yehoshua was asking Rabbi Chanina, you're a mumcha, you're an expert in refuos. Tell me, does cress juice work for my particular malady that I should go ahead and grind it up on Shabbos in order to make a cress juice drink? To which the Gemara says, "Umayish Rabbi Chanina, tell me, why was Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi asking this particular shayla, Rabbi Chanina? Mishum debaki berefus, because Rabbi Chanina was known as an expert in medicine." He was an expert in medicine. Dom Rabbi Chanina, let's listen to this. So Amar gives an example of Rabbi Chanina's expertise. He says, Dom Rabbi Chanina, me'olam lo sha'alani adam amakas pir de levana v'chaya. So Rabbi Chanina said, literally, no one ever asked me a shayla regarding being bitten by a white mule who lived. Which was another way of saying, there's never been a person who was bitten by a white mule who lived. So in other words, the Gemara is just giving this an example of Rabbi Chanina's acute medical knowledge. One second. Well, people do live, right? People get bitten by white mules all the time, and they're fine. So what's going on over here? Amos v'chayos. No, what Rabbi Chanina meant to say is, whenever a person is bitten by a white mule, ultimately, again, they're never fully healed. In other words, I guess that type of bite, you could live, but it never fully heals. Gemara says, one second, Vaka chazina demissi. Actually, people do get healed, right? They're actually fine after getting bitten by a white mule. To which the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Chanina was referring to a very specific situation. Besumkan inhu v'chiyurnesh karayo kaminon. We're talking about, again, red mules with white-tipped feet. So apparently, again, this type of mule. All right, so a very specific situation. So the Gemara is referring over here to Rabbi Chanina's very specific type of knowledge. Right? So he had a very specific type of knowledge. So this is just demonstrative of that. So again, what's the point of all of this? Right? The point of all of this was as follows. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi asked the Shaila. Right? What was Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's Shaila? His Shaila was, if Kohen Gadol did Chafina, right, and then died, could the replacement Kohen Gadol now use the same Chafina? Rabbi Chanina hears this Shaila, and he says, wow, look at the Shailas of earlier generations, which would seem to indicate to us, based on that statement, that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi was older than Rabbi Chanina. Now the Gemara says, here's the only problem with that. We see Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi asking his Shailas to Rabbi Chanina, and extolling Rabbi Chanina as the medical expert, which would seem to put Rabbi Chanina and is older than Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. So what's going on over here? To which the Gemara says, Mikol Makom Shmamina, Rabbi Chanina Kashish. What comes out from this whole exchange, I will say, remember again, our sugya right now is not about medicine. So what comes out from this whole exchange over here is that Rabbi Chanina is in fact older than Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. So what's going on? Now, this is what it means to say. She'ilosan kesheilosh avishon. So we'll say, what Rabbi Chanina meant was as follows. That when Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi asked this shaila, Rabbi Chanina was saying, oh, by the way, this is not a new shaila. We've asked this shaila in previous generations as well. So in fact, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi was younger than Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina was older. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi asked the shaila about using the chafina of a deceased Kohen Gadol. And Rabbi Yehoshua says, oh, you know what? We've asked that shaila before. It's a good kasha. That shaila has been asked in the Beis Medrash in earlier generations as well. But I will say, did Rabbi Chanina really have this kasha? Right? Did Rabbi Chanina really entertain the possibility that you could use, that the new Kohen Gadol could use the chafina of the old Kohen Gadol? Rabbi Chanina said, Bepar, this is going to be our sugyan amud beis, but let's get a little bit of an introduction to it now because it's quite fascinating. Rabbi Chanina held the halacha is bepar velo bedamo shapar. Rabbi say, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi, a very important Rashi here, almost right across in Rashi. Bepar velo bedamo shapar bezos yava aron alakodesh bepar. So we'll say the pasuk in Achrimos that goes through the details of the avodah of Yom Kippur says as follows. Bezos yava Aron al Kodesh. With this, Aaron will come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What is he coming in with? Bepar ben Bakar lechatos. He's coming in with a par ben Bakar for a chatos. The ayol the ola. So listen to this, Rabbosai. So Rashi says over here, Be'inyon, I'm sorry, Bezos yava Aron al Kodesh bepar, velo bedamo shapar. But not with the blood of the par. Rabbosai, what does that mean? She'im shachat paro umeis. So we'll say, listen to this. Rabbi Chanina is going to hold, and we're going to see, like I said, this sugya in its entirety later on. He'll say, but the idea is as follows. What happens if the Kohen Gadol shechts the par? And before being able to bring, to offer up the dam inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kohen Gadol dies. So now you have a replacement Kohen Gadol. The replacement Kohen Gadol cannot use the dam of the previous Kohen Gadol's par. But rather, what does he have to do? He has to shecht the new par. That's what it means. When it says, Bezos yavo Aron al HaKodesh bepar, bepar means the Kohen Gadol must come in with the par that he shechted. But he cannot come in with the dam of the par shechted by the previous Kohen Gadol. Again, we're going to see that on Amud Beis. Now, finish up that Rashi. The reason why this is important, the Gemara says, V'cheivan detzarech lahavi par acher, tzarech lachbon acher shchitaso. Rabbi said, we're going to see that the chafina, well, let's see in the Gemara. Rabbi Chanina said as follows, that in general, both said the halacha is that the Kohen Gadol must go in with the very blood of the par that he shechted. But again, if Kohen Gadol shechted the par and there's the dam, and then Kohen Gadol 1 dies, first Kohen Gadol dies, replacement Kohen Gadol comes along before the dam of the par was offered up in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Kohen Gadol number 2 has to do a brand new par. Now watch this, Rabbi Chanina. And Rabbi Chanina says that when is chafina done? Chafina is only done after the shechita of the par. Right? Even if it was done, if chafina was done before the shechita of the par, it's a meaningless chafina. So I will say, now watch this. According to this approach, if you allow ultimately again, chafina after chafina, right? If you allow ultimately one Kohen Gadol to go ahead, or one Kohen to pour the chafina into the hands of another Kohen, you end up running into an issue. What's the issue? Take a look at the next Rashi. From Rabbi Chanina, Kitar Shechavna Kodim Shechita Lo Asav Lo Klum, Shekein Seder HaAvodos. Be'inon, barba'inon, chafan umeis, nami i'afshar shaloshacha parotchila, v'zeba acharav tzarech lahavi parachar, v'amri tikanis bechafinos osharishon, nimtzeis chafino zu kodem shchitas paroshosheni. So therefore, we'll say, Rabbi Chanina says like this, if you will allow one coin to go ahead and take a handful of ketores and pour it into another coin's hand, then ultimately you could have a metzias where what? Where the chafina is done before the shechita of the par. In what situation? In this very unique situation where Kohen Gadol 1 dies after the shechita, but before the zrika of the dam par, Kohen Gadol number 2 then has to go ahead and do a new par. But if you allow the transfer of the ketores from one handful to another handful, it could turn out that halacha l'maisa, the chafina is being done before the shechita of the par. So we'll say it's just a technicality to show that Rabbi Chanina cannot subscribe to the idea that you could transfer the contents of the ketores, or you could transfer the ketores from one hand to another hand. to which the Gemara says, "Talking Gemara." This is what it means to say, "Mikadami boyle." The fact that the kasha was raised, "Michlal the kasaver bepar va'afilo bedamo shapar." So also, what the Gemara is just suggesting is the ability to entertain that you could transfer the contents of the ketores from one handful to another handful, in other words, from the hands of one coin to another coin, would indicate to us that you must also entertain the possibility that the dam of the par from the now deceased coin gadol could be used by the replacement coin gadol as well. And according to the approach that said this was a shayla of the rishonim, my havi Allah, what is the bottom line halacha? Right at the end of the day, we had a shayla. We'll say, right, what was the shayla? Chafan chaveiro v'nasan l'so chaveiro mahu. Right, I'm sorry. Chafan umeis mahu. I'm sorry. So we'll say the shayla of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi was that if the kohen gadol did chafino and now he died, what's the shayla? Can we use his handful? Can we use that chafino or not? So we'll say, so it turns out the Gemara says that it would appear based on the conversation of par that that's not really going to be a possibility. But according to the shayla that the Gemara asked, Lemaisa, is it possible or not? My havi Allah, Amra Papa, I chofein chozer v'chofein chaver nichnas bechafinoso dohamakayma chafina. We'll say, listen to this. Everything is going to depend on another machlokes. So we'll say, I just want to point out, this particular shayla is going to be dependent on a number of other shaylas, right? Shayla number one is what? That Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi shayla is that halacha lemaisa kohen gadol does the chafina. He does the chafina. Now he died. So what's the question? Can you go ahead and use that handful can the new kohen gadol use that handful? That's shayla number one. So now what we're going to see is that shayla is really going to be dependent on a couple of other shaylas. Number one, what is it going to be dependent on? Dam. If the kohen gadol shechted the par and then died, can you use the dam of that par for the avod inside the kodesh or the kodesh hakodashim? That's shayla number one. And what is that going to depend on? We're going to see this machlokes some of the days, but that's going to be bezos yava arna la kodesh bepar. Does par mean par that imamish has to do a brand new par, or does that mean what? Damol shel par. That as long as the dam of the original kohen gadol's par is intact, you could use that even though the new kohen gadol did not go ahead and shecht it. So Rabbi Osai, that's going to have an implication on this as well. Why? Because Lamaisa, if he has to do a new par, then by definition he automatically has to do a new chafina as well. Why? Again, we'll see this on the days. Why? Because Rabbi Osai, chafina is done when? Chafina is done after the par. So the moment you'll require a new par is the moment that by definition you'll require a new chafina. That's issue number one. I will say now there's issue number two. Issue number two is I chofein v'chozer v'chofein. So I will say this is very interesting. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, I chofein chozer v'chofein. It's the last short line. Rashi says, imifshit talon bayon di'iboylan gabe chafinas pnim im tzorech lachzor v'lachpon olo. So we'll say, listen to this, and this is going to be quite fascinating as well. The Kohen Gadol is walking into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? Remember, let's go through our process for just a moment, right? Remember, how do we get to Ketores? Shovel comes out of where? Shovel full comes out of where? Beis Avatinas. Kohen Gadol does the Chafina, takes the handful. What does he do with the handful? Put it into the Kaf. What does he do with the Kaf? What does he do with the Kaf? Takes it in which hand? Left hand. He's walking left hand, Kaf. Right, I'm sorry, I'm a lefty. Right, left hand kav, right hand shovel. He walks into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? He's holding both of these items. When he gets into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we're going to see this in Machlokes. We know what ultimately has to occur. What has to occur? Ketores gets on the coals. The Shaila Rabbi Osai is, does the Kohen Gadol take the contents of the ladle, put it back into his hands, and then put that onto the machta, onto the shovel with the coals? Yeah. Or does he... okay, good. Thank you. Excellent. Okay. Have a good day, everyone. Have a good day. Have fun. Right? Or Greg just solved 2,000 years of machlokes. So does he go ahead and, as we're going to see, it's machlokes, does he go ahead and transfer it from the ladle into his hands, and then take the ketores from his hands and put it onto the machta, put it onto the coals? Or does he transfer right from the ladle onto the coals? That's the machlokes, I will say, that the Gemara calls over here, of chofein v'chozer v'chofein. So we'll say, now watch this. It says the Gemara. Amra Papa, i'chofein v'chozer v'chofein chaver nichnas b'chafinasa d'hamek haim b'chafina. I'ein chofein v'chozer v'chofein t'ibaylecha. So we'll listen to this. So the Gemara makes a very interesting distinction over here. The Gemara says, if you hold that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kohen Gadol takes the ketores from the ladle and puts it back into his hands, and then he knows there's another chafina, then he goes ahead and what? Puts it onto the coals. Then the Gemara suggests there's no problem with using the chafina of the previous now deceased Kohen Gadol. Why not? Because I will say, interestingly enough, the new Kohen Gadol will end up doing a chafina as well. See, I will say, hear what the Gemara is saying? Remember, we have a simple Shiloh. Our simple Shiloh was, Kohen Gadol Aleph died. He died after doing the chafina. So what's the Shiloh? Can Kohen Gadol Beis, can Kohen Gadol number two, use the chafina of the now deceased Kohen Gadol? So the Gemara says, well, it's dependent on the par, not the par. The Gemara says, there's also another issue over here. Here's what we know. Kohen Gadol, right, new Kohen Gadol Beis, has to do a chafina. So the Gemara says, if you hold it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kohen Gadol empties the contents of the kaf into his hands and then places it onto the coals, we're okay letting him use the chafina of the now deceased Kohen Gadol. Why? Because at the end of the day, now the new Kohen Gadol will also end up doing a chafina. But if you hold that the way it works in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is that it goes right from the ladle, right, the kaf, onto the machta, onto the pan, onto the shovel, onto the coals, then that effectively means that what, Rabbi Osei? That Kohen Gadol number two will never end up what? Doing a chafina. Well, that's not possible. Therefore, again, it would have to be under those circumstances, we would not allow him to use the chafina of the now deceased Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says, Amr le Rav Huna, b'rid Rav Yehoshua, the Rav Papa, ad Rabba, I can say just the opposite. If you hold that the Kohen Gadol does another chafina inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in other words, he empties the contents of the kaf into his hands, lo yikanis achar bechafina, so then we shouldn't let him use the chafina of the now deceased Kohen Gadol. We'll say, why not? This is incredible. Because we'll say, here's the problem with using another Kohen Gadol's chafina, which is no two hands are the same size. So I will say, if you're gonna tell me that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim there's gonna be now another chafina, it's impossible that what? That either Kohen Gadol number two is either not gonna be deficient, or in other words, that when you empty the contents of the kaf into his hands, right? I will say, the ketores in the kaf was measured by whose hands? Kohen Gadol number one, who's now deceased. So if you're gonna empty that now into the hands of Kohen Gadol number two, one of two things is gonna happen. Either it's going to be deficient, or he's not going to be able to contain everything. But either way, it's not going to work. So the Gemara says just the opposite. If you hold that halacha lemaisa in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you just empty the contents of the ladle, of the kaf, right onto the machta, we're good to go. But if you're going to tell me you're going to have to start emptying the contents of the kaf into the hands of the second Kohen Gadol, you can't do that, because it's going to be, we know by definition it's going to be imperfect. To which the Gemara says, but if you hold that there's no second chafina, but you go out and you empty the contents of the kaf right onto the machta, then maybe it should be okay. To which the Gemara says, because we'll say, this is a shaila in the Gemara. We'll say, we've actually seen this already. Chofein v'chozer v'chozer chofein olal. We'll say, what happens in the Kodesh HaKadosh? We're going to study this sugya. But what happens in the Kodesh HaKadosh? We'll say, it's a machlokes. Does the Kohen Gadol simply empty the contents of the kaf onto the machta? Or does he do another chafina, emptying the contents of the ladle of the kaf into his hands, and then placing from his hands onto the shovel? To which the Gemara says, Tashma, kach haisa midasa. I will say, the Mishnah said it before, this was the measurement of the ketores. I will say, it was a handful. My love, kishim shemidasa mibachodz, kach midasa mibifnim. So I will say, does that not seem to indicate to us that the same way the Kohen Gadol does chafina outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when he comes to do the actual Ketores Avoda, he must empty the contents of the kaf back into his hands. There's another chafina. To which Gemara says, "Lo, Dilma She'im, Ratzah Lasos Mida Osa." No, maybe it means like this. Maybe it means that if they wanted to make a kli that was the size of a handful, they could do so, even though we rejected that notion already. Inami, shelo yos yachsar velo yosir. Or the other possibility Rabbah says is that you must take an exact handful, no more and no less. So Rabbah says, now the Gemara is kind of sidetracked by this chofin v'chozer v'chofin. So Tashma, Rabbah says, the Gemara says, I'm going to prove to you what happened in the Kodesh Kodesh. Rabbah says, this is incredible. Keitzadu osef. What would the coin do? So we'll say we're actually going to study this in greater depth as well. But this is really quite fascinating. Keitzad u'osef. So we'll say, so remember again, this is now describing the process inside of the Holy of Holies, inside the Kodesh HaKadosh. So we'll say, remember again, no one's arguing what happened outside of the Kodesh HaKadosh, right? We all know. Shovel of Kitoris comes out of Beis Avatinas. Kohen Gadol takes the handful, empties that into the kaf, into the ladle. He walks into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the machta, the shovel, the fire pan with the coals in his right hand. He walks with the kaf in his left hand. That's how he's walking in. What happens when he gets in? Here we go. Ochez es habazach berosh etzba'osav. He goes ahead and he holds the handle of the kaf with the tip of his fingers. V'ish omrim b'shinav. Others say with his teeth. Again, we'll get into this. Umale begodlo ad shemagia lebein atzile yadav. And I will say, what does he do? He manipulates with his fingers until it gets to his hands. V'chozir umachzira l'sochavna. So I will say, essentially what we're going to see, and again, we'll see this in greater depth, what the Kohen Gadol essentially does is like this. When he walks into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he walks in holding both of these items in his hand, right? Remember again, the machta, the shovel which was held in his right hand, has a long handle, right? And remember again, part of the reason for that long handle was why? So he could keep it under his body, under his arm, so literally that he could anchor it according to his body. This way, again, they would give him greater stability in holding on to it. Right, they will say, what would happen afterwards? So he would go and hold it against his body. Now, the Kitaris, of course, is much lighter. Right, so you don't need a handle that extends all the way up until your body. It was much lighter. So we'll say, so what would happen? When he would get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, essentially what the Gemara says is like this. We'll see what he did with the fire pan, but he's effectively putting it down. He's putting it down really between the badim. Actually, we'll see. On the floor or between the staves, or there we'll get to that. But he's putting down the fire pan. What he then does with the calf of the with the ladle with the receptacle the Ketores is in is he manipulates it till he's holding it in his hand, and essentially I will say what he does is he slowly pours the contents of the Ketores of the calf into his hands. So he slowly manipulates, because remember you can't drop any of the Ketores. He slowly goes ahead and tilts the calf until it empties into his hands and ultimately goes ahead and holds it like this. So we'll say, so again, we'll see the actual mechanics of it, but essentially what he's doing over here is, whereas he starts out holding the calf by the handle like this, he slowly moves the calf back to his hands and then gently moves it into his cupped hands to achieve the ketores like this. And I will say, v'chozer u'machzir l'sochav nav, v'tzobra, and I will say, now what does he do? Then he piles it on the coals, in order that what? In order that halacha lemaisa, the smoke would delay coming out. So, the idea over here is he piles the ketores on the coals so that it'll take a little bit of time for the ketores to burn. So, others say he sprinkles it or he spreads it out on the coals. In order that the smoke should come quickly. Zohi avoda kash shema mikdash. And this is the hardest avoda in the mikdash. So the Gemara says, Zohi vesulo, this is the hardest avoda. Vaika malika. Oh, what about malika? I'll say, which was much harder. Vaika kamitza, or kamitza, which was hard as well. Now, I'll say, remember again, we learned this before. Kamitza was hard with what type of mincha? What type of mincha? The mincha machvas or the minchas marcheshes, right? Kamitza was not so hard with a fine flour mincha. Kamitza was much harder with the types of minchos that were first baked or fried, then broken up into pieces. You took your three fingerfuls, and then what would happen? By definition, the kamitza, the pieces would extend outwards, and you had to shave off. You had to shave off the edges of the pieces. So the Gemara's like kamitza. Ella zohi avoda kasha me avodos kasha shebe mikdash. So I said, the idea of the Gemara saying is, you're right. It doesn't mean to say this is the hardest avoda. What it means to say is this was amongst the more difficult avodos in the Mikdash. But I will say, what comes out from here? What's the conclusion of the Gemara? Shmamina, chofin, v'chozer, v'chofin, shmamina. They both say what does come out from here, at least if we could resolve one thing, is that the Gemara seems to indicate, like Greg said, that halacha l'maisa, what? We do, in fact, the Kohen Gadol does, in fact, empty the contents of the ladle, of the kaf, back into his hands inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Kafina is effectively done twice. It's done the first time in the Kodesh, outside of the Mikdash building, where ultimately he's taking the handful from the shovel full of Ketores brought out from the Beis Avatinas, puts it into the Kaf, and then inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he is very gently tilting that Kaf back into his hands, retrieving the handful of Ketores and placing that on the machta, placing that on the fire pan with the coals. How he's placing it on the coals, we see, is subject to machlokes. Is he piling it on the coals? Is he kind of scattering it over the coals? That's a machlokes. But I will say, but halacha l'maaseh, at least we know he is pouring it back into his hands. So I will say, what I do want to point out is the original shayla of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is still here. So I'll say, so this original shayla, chafanu meis, if the Kohen Gadol does chafina and then he dies, can the second Kohen Gadol go ahead and use that handful? So the Rambam passes, the Gemara doesn't resolve it. So like the previous case as well, the Rambam passes that halacha l'maaseh, you should not use that chafina. So if the Kohen Gadol died, he did chafina, and then he died before being able to offer that ketores, Kohen Gadol number two should do his own chafina, should do a second chafina. What happens if he didn't? He made a mistake. They didn't do a second chafina, and Kohen Gadol number two ends up using the chafina of Kohen Gadol number one. What's the halacha? The Rambam says, nirtza, it works. It works. You don't have to do the avodah over again, so you shouldn't use it, but if you used it ex post facto, after the fact, ultimately, again, it works. Ibailu. What's another interesting case? Shachat umeis. So we'll say now this reference is back to what we just had before. What happens if the Kohen Gadol shechted this par? He shechted the par, and then he died. So we'll say, so now you have the dam of the par of the now deceased Kohen Gadol. So can we use that dam, or does Kohen Gadol number two have to go ahead and shecht another par? So the Gemara says, Ibailu shachat umeis mao sheikanis achar bedamo. So we'll say, this is really a shayla in a pasuk. The Torah says, "Bizos yavo Aron lakodesh bepar." Aaron must come, that Kohen Gadol must come into the Kodesh with his par. So we'll say, what does that mean with his par? Does it mean that the same Kohen Gadol comes in with the dam of the par, also must be the one who shechted the par? Or do we say, no, the Kohen Gadol just needs to come in with the dam of the par, even if what? He did not shecht the par. So we said the real shaila is like this. Does the definition of par devolve upon the blood or not? So and the nafkamina would be in this kind of case. Kohen Gadol 1 shechted the par. He has the dam of the par. He died. Kohen Gadol now number 2 comes on the scene. The dam of that par is still there. Can Kohen Gadol number 2 use the dam of the par or not? Or must he shecht another par? To which the Gemara says, the Gemara says, Rabbi Chanina Omar bepar v'lo b'dam shabar. Rabbi Chanina will say, halacha l'maisa. No, par means the actual par itself, and it's not just good enough to use the dam of the par. So Rabbi Chanina would say, when Kohen Gadol number 2 comes along, Kohen Gadol number 2 must shecht the brand new par. He cannot go ahead and use the dam of the previous par. Bepar v'lo b'dam shabar. So the Gemara says, Rish Lakish Omar bepar v'afilo b'dam shabar. Rish Lakish says, no, halacha l'maisa. As long as the blood of the par is there and is usable, Kohen Gadol number 2 need not go ahead and shecht the brand new par. Why? Because when it says Bizos Yava Arn Elakodesh Bepar, Bepar even means the dam of the par. So as long as the dam is there, even though Kohen number 2 did not shecht this par, Halacha L'maaseh, we're good to go. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Ami Amar Bepar V'lo Dam Shapar. The Gemara is just talking about this is a machlokis amongst Amorim as well. So Rabbi Ami says it means the par v'lo b'dam shel par. You need the actual living par. The Kohen Gadol who enters in with the dam of the par must be the one who shechted the par. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar bepar v'avilo b'dam shel par. Rabbi Yitzchak says no. Even if you didn't shecht it, as long as you have the dam, it's good enough. So both say essentially, as long as the dam is there, the par is usable. Esvei Rabbi Ami Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. So Rabbi Amri is the kasha of Yitzchak Nafka. Both say it's very interesting. Nimnin umoshkin yedem meno at sheishcha. So both say this is Karban Pesach. Remember again, for Karban Pesach, you have to be part of a chabura. So you have the ability to join the chabura or to withdraw from the chabura Up until when? Up until Shechita. Up until Shechita. So the Gemara says, but one second. If it was true that Dam has the same identity as what? As the actual Adam, as the actual carbon. If that's the case, you really should be able to join and to leave a Chabura until when? Until Zrika. Until Zrika. Then Isa. If it was true that ultimately, again, the carbon retains its identity even when it's in the dam form, you should be able to vim isa at shizrak mibayle. You should be able to join and to withdraw from a chabur until zrika. Shiny hasam dichsib miyos misa michiyuse disa. But I'll say it's different because by carbon pesach it says michiyos misa. That when can you ultimately join or withdraw from a chabura? When the se is a se. And I both say everyone agrees that says only a sin until when? Till Shechita. Till Shechita. So the Gemara says, Masiv Marzutra, but what about the following Kasha? Ain't Podin, Lo Be'ego, Velo Be'chai, Velo Be'shchut. So I both say, this is talking about Avir Petach Hamor. Firstborn donkey. Firstborn donkey, ultimately again, can be redeemed. But the Gemara says, it's only you cannot redeem it with an egel, with a calf. V'lo b'chaya, with a chaya, v'lo b'shchuta, and not ultimately with the shechted animal, v'lo b'trefa, not with the trefa animal, v'lo b'kilayim, not with kilayim, v'lo b'koi, you can't redeem it with a koi, but say koi is also a hybrid animal, ela b'seh, the only thing you could go ahead and redeem a peter chamor with is with a seh. Shabbos says, see, here's what's interesting, why can't you, the shaila is on a shchuta, if you hold that halacha l'maisa par, means afilo bedamo shapar, which means that the par retains its identity even in the blood form. So why should you not be able to redeem a peter chamor with a shchuta? Because even a shechted animal retains its identity as an animal. To which the Gemara says, no, no, no. Shiny house on peter chamor is different. Why? The yalith se se mi pesach. We make, Rabbi says, very interesting. We make a gzir shav of se se between peter chamor and carbon pesach. Just like carbon pesach, you could only use. It only has its identity as a carbon pesach when. When it's living, so too by Petach Chamor, the se you have to use has to be a living se. Aye, if that's the case, then also by Petach Chamor, we should say, Imeh lehalon zachar tamu ben shana. That Karan Pesach, it also has to be a male animal, an unblemished animal, and within a year, afkan zachar tamu ben shana. So too by Petach Chamor, we should say, you can only use a se that is male, unblemished, and within a year. And in fact, that's not the case. Tamud lomar, tifte tifte riba. Vosa by Petach Chamor, tifte tifte comes along and says what? Comes along and says that halacha l'maisa, you could even use other animals. E tifta tifta riba, afilu kulunami. If that's the case, then ultimately, if tifta tifta comes to be marba and tell you that halacha l'maisa, you can go ahead and what? You could use all these other animals for pigyon peter hamar. Why not go ahead and include all of these other excluded items as well? Imkain se mayahanile. If that's the case, then what does the Torah's mention of se really help us with? So I will say, we'll stop over here for today, but just understand what we are. We're focusing on a very fundamental shaila here. So I will say, we remember again, we're working through all the cases, essentially, where the Kohen Gadol died mid-avoda, right? So we already established if the Kohen Gadol did chafina, right? Kohen Gadol did chafina, and then he died. Can another Kohen Gadol, could the replacing Kohen Gadol use his chafina? What's the answer? Ideally not. But, right, really, I should say differently. The answer is no, right? Because at the end of the, and we'll say, now the answer makes sense. Why is the answer no? Because since there's going to be a second chafina in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we really don't want the second chafina in the Kodesh HaKadoshim being done with someone else's chafina. Why? Because by definition, what is that going to be? Imperfect. It's either going to be too much or too little. One thing is sure, it's not going to be exact. So ideally, we do not use the chafina of the previous Kohen Gadol. The Rambam Paskins, ex post facto, if you used it, nirtza, it works. So it's like kind of working ourselves along. The next shaila of the Gemara was, the Bailahu, was halacha lamaisa, if the Kohen Gadol shechts the par, and now he dies. So what do I have? I have the dam of the previous Kohen Gadol's par. Can I use that dam for the blood service? So again, that's going to be a machlokas. What's the machlokas? Here's what we know. Bizos yava arna la kodesh bepar. The Kohen Gadol must go into the kodesh with his par. What's the shaila? Does his par mean the shechit, right, a par that he shechts, or does his par mean the dam of the par? Is the dam the same thing as the par? That ultimately, again, is a subject of machlokes. Rabbosai, will the Meretz Hashem resolve that in tomorrow's dam? Shkoyach. Rabbosai, just a reminder, tomorrow is a Sunday schedule. So davening is 7:15. Meretz Hashem, the daf will begin a few minutes before 8 o'clock. Shkoyach.